In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. So one day, a mother was out walking with her four-year-old daughter, and her daughter picked something up off the ground and started to put it into her mouth when the mother stopped her and said, "Wait, don't do that." "Well, why not?" asked the little girl. "Because it's on the ground," said her mother. "You don't know where it's been. It's dirty and probably loaded with all kinds of germs that will make you sick." And the child looked up at her mother with awe and said, "Mommy, how do you know so much? You're so smart." And the mother responded, "Well, all moms know this stuff. It's on the mom's test. You have to know it or they won't let you become a mom." A few moments of silence passed, and the little girl responded, "Oh, I get it. And if you don't pass the test, you have to be the daddy." Happy Father's Day, everyone. So in addition to Father's Day, in the church, today is called Holy Trinity Sunday, the day we celebrate one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because of the complexity of this doctrine, it's been said that more heresy is preached on this Sunday than any other day of the year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Feel free to let me know at the door as you leave. But it does point to the confusion surrounding the great mystery of the Holy Trinity. It's a pretty mind-boggling concept, isn't it? And I'm sure we've all heard different metaphors and analogies to help break it down and explain it to us, such as the Trinity is like water and how you can find it in its three different forms, solid, liquid, and vapor. Or the Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. Or it's like an egg with the white and the yolk and the shell. Or one of my favorites, the Trinity is like three-in-one shampoo. But here's the problem. All of these analogies, although they're helpful to a certain extent, all of them break down, and all of them are actually ancient heresy that was eventually condemned by the church, because they either claim that God is not three distinct persons or entities, or they suggest that the Trinity makes up three different parts of God. In other words, no matter how hard we try, we just can't get our minds around this difficult concept. Besides, talking about the Trinity only gets us so far. Now, the Trinitarian debates of the 4th century, which eventually led to the creation of the Nicene Creed, are, of course, foundational to our faith. But talking about the Trinity and experiencing the Trinity are very different. The Trinity isn't just some complex doctrine. It's the fullest expression of who God is. Throughout Holy Scripture, God is described as the creator who is intimately involved with his creation. He's described as the redeemer who came into our world to rescue us and to save us. And he's described as the sanctifier who breathes holiness into every part of our lives. And this isn't just theoretical stuff. This is life-giving truth. The fullest expression of God isn't found in some theological argument or the perfect metaphor or analogy. The fullest expression of God is this: God is love. In fact, love is why God created us in the first place. God didn't make us because he was bored or needy or lonely. He created us out of his love. C.S. Lewis once said, "God, who needs nothing, loves into existence holy, superfluous creatures in order that he may love and perfect them." And that's really what the Trinity is all about. After all, how do we experience love? How do we know what love looks like or feels like? The reality is we only know love through our experience of being loved and loving others. We only know love through our relationships and interactions with others. And the Trinity is exactly this. It's the perfect community of self-giving love. As we hear in today's lesson, and really throughout the Gospels, each member of the Trinity is constantly pointing to the other, lifting the other up, and glorifying the other. And as Holy Scripture tells us, we were created in the image of God. Therefore, we too were created to be in community, to point to others, to build each other up, and to love each other. A few years ago, I came across this academic journal called the Journal of Happiness Studies. The Journal of Happiness Studies. It really does exist. You can look it up. And the journal publishes these articles that identify what makes human life flourish. When researchers look at what distinguishes happy people from less happy people, one factor consistently separates the two groups. It's not how much money they have. It's not their health. It's not their security. It's not their attractiveness or even their careers. According to the journal, what distinguishes consistently happier people from less happier people is the deep presence of meaningful relationships. Now, of course, the world we live in tells us a very different story, doesn't it? It tells us that we don't really need anyone else, that we should always look out for number one and carefully protect what is ours. After all, if we don't, who will? Jim Roberts, a therapist in Kansas City, tells a very powerful story about visiting his son's fourth grade classroom when the teacher introduced a game called Balloon Stomp. A balloon was carefully tied to every child's leg, and the object of the game was to pop everyone else's balloon while protecting one's own. And the last person with an intact balloon would win the game. This is what Robert writes. The first class played with vigor. Balloons were relentlessly targeted and destroyed. The entire battle was over in a matter of seconds, leaving only one balloon and one victor. In order to win this game, you had to be pushy, rude, and aggressive. But then Roberts writes this, a disturbing thing happened. A second class was brought into the room to play the same game, only this time it was a class of children with intellectual disabilities. They too were given a balloon and the same instructions. And then Roberts got a sinking feeling in his midsection as he looked on. He desperately wanted to spare these kids the pressure of a competitive brawl. But this time the game proceeded differently. Instead of fighting each other off, these children somehow got the idea that they were supposed to help each other pop the balloons. So they formed a kind of balloon stomp co-op. One little girl knelt down and held the balloon in place for a little boy to come up and stomp it flat. And then he knelt down and held his balloon for her to pop it. And on it went, all the children helping each other in the great stomp. And finally, when the very last balloon was popped, everybody cheered. This time, everybody won. The question we have to ask ourselves is this: which game do we choose to play? The world's game, in which we have to fight for what is ours by stomping out as many balloons as we can? Or God's game, which reminds us of the truth that we are His beloved children, formed in His very image, each of us chosen and unconditionally loved? The Trinity isn't just some remote model for us. It's not something we hold up and strive to attain. It reminds us that we were created out of love to be in community with each other. And in a very personal and unique way, we are the objects of this Trinitarian love. God doesn't just love us in some abstract way. God loves us so much that he didn't wait for us to try to clean up our acts and get our lives together before he chose us. He loves us so much that he came to us in the person of Jesus and willingly laid down his life for us. And that's really the miracle of the Trinity. It exists to share God's love with you and with me and with all the world. So today, may we remember that Trinity Sunday is not about dissecting or defending doctrinal arguments. Instead, today is a day for us to celebrate God's unconditional love and grace for you and for me. Today is a day to rejoice in the ways we experience the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And today, with God's grace, may we become the people we were created to be by entering into community and sharing the incredible gift of love with others. Amen.